Mealtime is very important. Oh, yes, it's important because we get to eat, and good nutrition is a good thing. But more goes around the table than just feeding our faces. In this time of recession or recovery, whatever you want to call it, we sometimes do not identify another scarcity. And that's time. Time spent with one another. Time spent around a table. In how many homes has mealtime sort of gone the way of all flesh? And we do not feed on more than just food. The home of Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus must have been a welcome, hospitable place to Jesus and his disciples. In reading the story, and it's all of John chapter 11 and into chapter 12, in reading the whole story, we get the sense that this is a place where Jesus and his disciples feel at home. They return here. There must have been something about the hospitality of that table. Oh, we know the story told in Luke's gospel about, you know, Martha and Mary and their different versions of what hospitality is all about. And how in Luke's gospel, Martha is focusing upon all the details that have to be done in order for hospitality to happen. But Mary is also sharing hospitality by sitting at Jesus' feet. That's Luke's story, not John's story. In John's gospel, this is the place where we get a sense of the table of that family. Now, I know we know very little about this family. I mean, we don't know, you know, whether there was any marriage involved either before or after. We know nothing really of Lazarus himself. If I'm right, I don't believe he speaks at all in any of the Gospels. You know, perhaps he was a special person for whom his sisters cared. I don't know. We don't know. But this was a special home to which Jesus referred and returned many times. And he called them my friends. Now in chapter 11 of John's Gospel, we have an illness. Remember what I said about we are not defined by our illnesses. But for Lazarus, the definition was that it was a very serious illness, one that led to his death. Jesus and his disciples were a distance away when they received word of his illness. And it's a little troubling as we think about it to hear what Jesus said. Jesus said, no, we're not going to race over there. In fact, he waited 2 days before heading off. And then finally, if you remember the story, Jesus said, okay, now it's time to go. And he turned his disciples towards Bethany. I don't know how long it took them to walk the distance from where they were to that town. But eventually they arrived. And along the way, Jesus was talking about how Lazarus was asleep. And the disciples saying, well, if he's asleep, why do we have to go there? And he says, no, this is asleep, he is dead. And they eventually get there and they discover that he has been dead for 4 days. So if you know any qualms I might have about Jesus waiting, you know, okay, 2 days, he waits, and when they finally arrive, it's 4 days. So there's a possibility that Lazarus was already dead when they received word. Who knows? Perhaps you know the story, though. When word was received at the home of Mary and Martha, You know, Lazarus is gone, so we can't call it his home anymore. Martha races to Jesus. And she comes to him and says, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." It's not a very big statement of faith, that and the few next words that she said, but Jesus built upon it. Those words that are familiar to us. You know those words that Jesus spoke to Martha. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." You know those words. Then he turned to Martha and said, "Do you believe this?" And she said, "Yes. I believe that on the last day the dead shall rise." She believed in the resurrection, but she hadn't a clue as to what was about to happen. Which is okay, because we often, like Martha, don't have a clue. And yet we still follow. And Martha raced back to tell her sister Mary, and Mary raced to Jesus. And here's where we just entered the scene in reading the gospel. Mary came, and as was common for Mary, she fell at his feet. That tells a little bit about her character. And she likewise says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus was moved. You heard the story. Gathered around them were the people who helped to mourn. Perhaps professionals brought in. You know, back in that day and age, you paid people to help you mourn. You know, now we depend upon our friends who come to the funeral home and they help us and they're with us. Sometimes it's very taxing on us to go through the viewing time because it takes an awful lot of energy and we come away exhausted. And maybe we cry at that point, and maybe we don't, but somewhere along the line we got to. Well, that's the point at which Jesus is at. Only there's a strange twist in this story. Because Jesus has all these people around him. He knows why he's there. He knows what's about to happen. John is very clear about this. Jesus has the clue. Jesus knows. And all these people around them are just thinking grief. They're thinking death. They're thinking, "Okay, Jesus, come. Come to the tomb that you may see where we laid Lazarus. Come," in effect saying, "come and see death." Where if you follow John's gospel, Jesus was the one constantly saying, come and see life. And these people are saying, come and see death. And it's my impression as I read this that Jesus at this point grows very frustrated. And that we have that short verse that most of us memorized when we had to memorize one verse of the Bible. You know what that verse was? Jesus wept. Was it just grief? No. Was it frustration? I think a great deal. And they come to the tomb where Lazarus, his friend, was. You heard the story. A marvelous story. Jesus said, "Move away the stone." Does that sound familiar? Move away the stone? Is that built into our faith? I think so. This is a foretelling. Move away the stone. And Martha says, "But God, I mean, Jesus, you know it's going to stink in there." Move away the stone. And they did. And Jesus prays. A prayer of thanksgiving that was more for the benefit of the hearers than for God. That's sometimes our prayers. But then Jesus stood there outside the tomb. And this is one where I've got to say it as it is written, because I had a preaching teacher one time that said, told me, when you read Scripture, read it fully as it's written. And it didn't say that Jesus stood there and whispered. It doesn't say that Jesus said softly. It says that Jesus said in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! Did you cringe a little bit at that one? And he did. He awakened. He walked out, rolled up in his cloths of death. And Jesus said, unbind him. And you know what happened next? Well, I know if you read John's Gospel, the rest of that chapter involves, you know, some people going to the scribes and Pharisees and all this. Oh, what's going on? Jesus shouldn't have done that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You have to kind of turn to the next chapter to find out what happens next. They had a meal. They had a meal. There in Bethany, in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They had a meal. And you know, it was that meal where that story that we often remember about Mary took place. It was that meal where as they were eating, she came up to Jesus. And you kind of know what's in her heart because she's just witnessed and gone through something spectacular that involved her very family. She got down on her knees. You know, that's where Mary lived, at the feet of Jesus. And what did she do? She poured a whole vial, a whole bottle of perfume, costly perfume on his feet, added to her tears, and wiped his feet with her hair. Of course, you had somebody on the side, you know who, complaining about the cost of that, how the money could have been spent better. But in a way, she was anointing him for the path ahead. Because you know which came next? Bethany was only 2 miles from Jerusalem. And the next step was towards the cross. But this was a table there in Bethany, a table of life. A table of life. Whenever we gather together, my dear brother and sister saints, we are celebrating the life which God has given us. God raises us every day to newness of life. God brings us to the table in spite of the things that would tear us apart. As you think ahead to Thanksgiving, you know, I'm sure some of the thoughts in your head are going, yeah, great, but I'm not sure about my relationship with so-and-so and how it's kind of strained right now. We come to the table as feeble strugglers. But God transforms that table so that somewhere along the way, the saints in glory shine. Think about that table. In fact, the next so many sermons, we've got a series. We just finished one on Job. We're going to be talking about tables this month. Hope you don't get tired of hearing about tables, because you're invited to God's table. Amen?